car coming here. He said to me something about this. In Galatians chapter 6, it's based on living a life that glorifies Christ, or church that glorifies Christ, or family that glorifies Christ, or man that glorifies Christ, or woman that glorifies Christ, or child that glorifies Christ, brings in great dividends. The Lord revealed Himself to those type of people, and then manifestation and demonstration becomes a way of life. And so I've sort of caught off guard with these two scriptures in the aspect of the Lord wanted me to read them this morning and open this service up with Him and try to relate to you some principles of operating out of an overflowing anointing. What transpired when a Christian began to operate out of an overflowing anointing, an anointing that they can't control. An anointing, burdens start being removed, yokes start being destroyed all around you because that anointing is flowing out of your life. How many won't go there? See, that's such a thing called an overflowing anointing. I remember hearing the message, the spirit within and the spirit upon. For to have an overflowing anointing, the spirit within has to get full, and he start flowing on the outside of you. And people around you know that anointing is flowing. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, if you're going to operate in overflowing anointing, the central factor has to be in your life and conversation is the cross of Christ. Church got away from it some kind of. Look at the 14th verse. See, God, this is something, boy, because, you know, the church can go on and she can do all these things, but here I have, here the Holy Ghost says, but God forbid, I mean, he forbid it, that I should glory, save, and that word save mean accept, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now that's it. That's a wrap up. Manifestation, blessings, demonstration, revelation. That's a wrap right there. Deliverance, victory, overcoming. That's a wrap right there. See, one man captured this perfectly. He said, this is God's prescribed order of victory. And the whole Bible is wrapped around this verse and voices that say the same thing. So God can't use a person who has not been crucified. And so, see, how can I say this, Holy Spirit? Grace can't work in an empty space. Well, there's no reverence. There's no fear. There's no respect. There's no not enough honor. We can't capture this honor intellectual-wise. This honor must be birthed in us by the Spirit. That's one or two verses I'm going to show you that are going to help along that line. But let's just go to Galatians 2:20 because the Holy Spirit is real adamant about this morning that we learn to live this life that glorifies Christ. In Him we live and move and have our being, and operating not a fresh anointing but a fresh overflowing anointing. The anointing is introducing us to new enlightenment and new empowerment on daily basis. I didn't hear that. Did you hear that? New enlightenment and new empowerment on daily basis is just flowing out of you. You don't have to fight it. You don't have to try to feel it. It's just flowing out of you. because you've positioned yourself in a position that Christ honors, that the Father honors, and that the Lord is calling for us to live by. It is not easy to be crucified in the religious atmosphere that we live in. It's not easy to be crucified in the spirit with the entertainments that we have to choose from. But once you go there, and once you understand it, and once you yield to it, you'll never go back. I came out of the world. I never went back. By the grace of God, I never went back. I tasted something that was better than the world. I haven't been back since. I'm not going back. They don't have what I want now. And so this crucified experience and glory and thanking God for Jesus dying for us, it can't happen. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Let's look at another verse that is kindred to this verse. The Bible says, God forbid me the glory. Forbid me the glory in anything, a material thing, or anything else, or my talent, or my gift, or where I'm from, or who I am. God forbid that. God said, you as a Christian, I want you to glorify my son. And I want you to remember what my son have done for you. You wouldn't be where you are if it wasn't for my son. Died on Calvary. You cannot live a Christian life without knowing that the central factor of the whole scenario is Jesus Christ and him crucified. This can't be a side dish. This can't be just dessert. This has to be the entree. It's the main course. Look at the 20th verse of Galatians 2:20. See, can you identify with this? See if you got some selfish ways or something that you cannot identify with this, because you're going to have to yield. See, this is, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. I know what it says, but what? Christ what? And the life that I now live? I live by the faith of the Son of God who what? Loved me. Then the next voice tells us, I'm not going to go all the way in it, but he says, he's talking about not frustrating the grace of the cross. See, you don't want frustrated. You want to keep that in place. And so look at Matthew 5 and 6, if you will, this morning. Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed are they that do hunger and third, after what? What do you say will happen to them? See, there's a divine hunger that the Holy Spirit can produce in one's life that will cause them to be blessed all the time. Once you get hungry, once you get thirsty, are you listening? Once you permit the Holy Spirit and you have the capacity for this because you're a child of God, once you permit the Holy Spirit to birth this type of thirst and this type of hunger in you, listen to what I'm about to say. You will stay blessed. It's no matter what going on around you, no matter who going on around you, that thirst and that hunger are always going to draw you out of the crowd and put you in a position that you can handle anything. This is the Father's desire. That each one of his children come to a place that they're so hungry and they're so thirsty for him, they don't have time for nothing else. And that can happen. But it only happened by the grace of God. It only happened by some of the principles that I'm going to give you to cause that to happen to your life this morning. I'm going to give you some principles because, you know, the supernatural, the manifestation and the demonstration and the reigning and the dominion and the authority that the Lord wants us to have is hidden in his word. But it's not hidden from you, it's hidden for you. You know, suppose Satan go in the woods and get revelation. We really would be whooped in. So the Lord hide it. And Satan's heart can't adjust to it to get it. But my heart and your heart can break down low enough for him to be Lord. Satan can't do that. So it's hidden from him. So the why it's hidden from a lot of Christians is they won't break down. They're letting Satan mess with their heart. Pride and arrogance and you know, I can do this and I can do that. No. That's how Satan got kicked out. See, think about it now. Satan cannot hunger or thirst after God. This is our privilege. Lord, I seek you early. And so the thirst has not been birthed like it should have in the church at large. But if we keep getting in the atmospheres like this, when we prioritize Jesus above our agenda. Can I preach to you today? See, our agenda gets in the way of intimacy with Christ. If we develop that intimacy with Christ, our agenda will become his agenda. It's over then. The Lord is good. I can't hear you. The Lord is good. And he wants good things to happen for us, through us, and around us. You heard that? You heard that? God wants good things to happen through us, for us, and around us. Bible says all things work together for good for them that love God. So in developing this life to glorify Christ, and because the Lord taking me back in operating out of this overflow anointing, just look at John 4 for a moment. John 4 for a moment. I'm not going to preach long this morning. I think we're going to, when we have the 10 o'clock service, I think we'll get out the same time we've been getting out of these services. If I ever find John, we're going to read it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
John chapter 4. I just want to look at one verse and make observation of the difference between two verses. You know it, but I need to do it now because we're talking about being crucified. We're talking about living at a different level in the spirit. In John chapter 4, verse 14, because we're talking about spiritually eating and spiritually drinking. And I'm going to give you some terms this morning that will live with you forever. And you'll be able to use them at any given moment in your life, in your life, in your life. Now watch what I'm saying now. In your life and your life situation. Now, your life and your life situation, they are not the same. Get that. Write that down. Write that down because I want you to have it. Your life is in Christ. My life is hid in Christ. But there comes some situation in my life, may come out of my soul, may come from Satan, may come from self-pride, but that's not really my life. My life is hidden in Christ. So if I get trouble or circumstances of something trying to mess over me, that's not my life. See, I got to separate, keep my life separated because out of my life, I'm going to handle the life situation. Talk to me somebody in here. See, because when we are attacked a lot of time, we think that's our life. But our lives are blessed in Christ. We are blessed in Christ. You understand? We are blessed no matter what's going on around us or what's attacking us. We're still in a blessed position.
Yes, sir.
You have to always remember that you're in a blessed. Why? Because I'm connected to the vine. I'm connected to Christ. Some kind of sap going to come out here to help me. You understand? Because I'm connected. Say, are you connected?
Yes.
Because I'm connected. See, in this connection, listen, you may know a good lawyer. You may know a good doctor. You may know a good different people in walks of life. But this connection is the connection.
Yes.
Hmm? It's so important to know that. Because If Satan gets you to think that life situation is your life, all of us will be up in trouble from here this morning. But we got some situation we're dealing with, right? Talk to me. But that's not your life. So take your life and back off from your situation. And look at it. And then tell that situation, you don't know who you're messing with. See, you're messing with the Christ that's on the inside of me. You understand what I'm saying? And when you understand it, you become more, for lack of a better word, you become more, I don't want to use this word because the word has been, this word been dragged through the mud. But it has to be used. You become more spiritual. Now it's real spiritual. It's talking about being separated and you're the only one. No. It's talking about being deeper in the things of God. But they took, you know, some words they took and just mess it up, you know, like gay.
Right.
Used to mean jolly. Now nobody don't want to use it no more now. Gay who? I won't rap. I'm not gay. I'm not happy. Don't want the word to touch you, but spiritual, so it's so important. Now here, John 4:14, it said, but whosoever drinketh, Jesus the speaker, and he's talking to a prostitute. He's not talking to a prostitute. He's talking to an adulterous woman who have had five husbands.
Right.
And he's talking to a prejudiced woman.
Right. Yes,
she was prejudiced. If you read the context, she was prejudiced because she said, you being a Jew, ask me for a drink of water. So she had problem. She had culture, racial problem.
Right.
Then she had man problem.
Right. Come on, Dad. Preach.
Let all them men stay with you and don't marry. And somebody say if they can ride free. Yeah, don't look at me like I'm crazy. We need to come down to earth sometime. You're breathing up my face. Go get a license. You got to have a license to breathe here.
Hey! Glory! Preach on!
She didn't have five men. Jesus said they're not your husband. You had five. The one you got now, not yours. But yet he had something to overcome that. As in bad of condition this woman, she couldn't find a real man. She couldn't discern. She was weak. You know, I've seen some weak women just go for anything. Whew, yeah, uh-huh. I like a thinking woman. You got to think. No, you ain't coming here with that. What? No, you need more proof. No, I don't want. Now you ain't getting my number. A real woman, you got to go after her. You got to serenade her, call her. She said, no, I don't want to go nowhere. Just don't get in every car that come along. And that's what I'm talking about. You got to preach up in here. That's the condition of this woman. But Jesus had, I'm telling you, Jesus, listen to me, internet, Jesus got a solution for any weakness, anything you got in your life. But Jesus said, then Jesus popped this. After she talked about her little conversation, her race problem, Jesus, with a word of knowledge, told her what she was doing. See, it wasn't, she ain't had no sign written on her. Sometimes you need a word of knowledge to see because they look good and look common and look like they're living right, but the Lord got to speak. All right. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I should give him shall what?
Never thirst.
Never thirst. Say never thirst.
Never thirst.
Now, we're not talking about physical thirst. We're talking about thirst for him. And he said, you'll never thirst.
Yes,
but the water that I should give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting. How many of y'all got that? How many of y'all? Well, the rest of y'all don't have it? See, you wasn't paying attention, girl. You were talking too much. You don't even know what I said. I told y'all, focus this morning. Focus. Help me, please. Focus this morning. I don't want to waste this.
Yes, sir.
Then you have in John 7:37-39. Now you're going to another extent of this thirst and this hunger. You're going to another fulfillment of it. Because now we're going, Jesus said, let's just read it right quickly. I almost read the scripture my whole time of preaching because I'm about to close.
Come on.
Hallelujah. John 7 now. When John 7. Still Sam Gospel. John 7. Now the 37th verse says, and Jesus still speaketh. He said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood. I remember one time I was preaching, I got there and got happy. And cried, saying, if any man thirst, see, talking about thirst again, let him come unto me and do what?
Drink.
Now, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers, plural, of living water. Now, we're beyond just having a well now. And then verse 39 is an amplifying verse to make sure you know what he's talking about. But this speak he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, I find it was brought back to something that the Lord told me in study. Believing is the appetite that you have to have. You have to let the word of God produce a believing appetite. In other words, for spiritual things, and then and a believing thirst. So you become a thirsty believer. And when that happens, then you're going to start receiving things that you couldn't receive ordinarily by just being a church member. You become thirsty. I mean, it's a believing thirst. God, dog, man, help me, Holy Spirit. It's you become thirsty for God more than natural water. Anybody ever been thirsty for natural water? Boy, you get a cold drink of water. You can develop that in the spirit that you're thirsty for him. Hungry for him. See, that hunger is a believing hunger. Got it? It's a believing thirst that have been birthed in me by him himself. All right? Now, in order for us to really obtain or maintain this aspect of experiencing the glory of Christ in our life and living this overflow anointing, this anointing within, this anointing upon. You remember what Jesus said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me? Turn to 1 Peter, because I'm about to say something that I think will straighten out the movement of in the spirit realm to really be thirsty for God. That, and I'll tell you when you get to 1 Peter, I'll tell you what this first thing I need to am about. 1 Peter, let me see if I get you the voice. 1 Peter 2 and 9. I want to explain something about this. And it'll change your life. You see, you had 1 Peter 2 and 9? Let me hear you. Now, notice what it says. But ye are a chosen generation. Uh-huh. Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir. Then he goes on to say, a royal priesthood. I want you to underline that. A royal priesthood, and holy nation, and peculiar people, and he tell you why now. You see, you tell us why?
Yes.
Come on, tell me why. What he said?
That you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
All right. He called us out of darkness, right?
Yes.
But he didn't just call us out of darkness. I want you to look at somebody next to you and tell them, I'm fully delivered of whatever come against me. Remember life and life situation. Life situation coming against you. But my life, who is that? Who is that? Colossians 1 and 13 or 1 and 12? Turn there, man. Put your finger in Peter before I tell you about this principle that we're going to work. What is it? 1:13 and 1:12. Colossians 1:12, 1:13. We deliver from the power. 1:13. You hear 1:13? Colossians 1:13? Yes, sir. See, that verse is saying the same thing. See, it says, I'm delivered from the power of darkness, right? Yes. And translated what? Of God, dear son. I have to remember that. No matter what come up, I have to remember that. You understand me? Because those two voices are ticking somewhere, that we are raw priesthood, we're a chosen nation, we're a peculiar people. And I want to emphasize on the raw priesthood because it's about to shift us somewhere. We're about to shift in the atmosphere. It's going to be a shift in the atmosphere of your life, your prayer life, and whatever you're doing in life. It's going to be a shift. In order to live in this overflow anointing, when I first heard it, I said, Lord, every one of us have a right. Turn to Hebrews 4, because these scriptures just keep coming up. When I say this, I don't want you to take it as a bypass word or just a filler. It's for this moment. And the believers need to know this. The believer wants, if I can get you convinced of this first point, I could rest my case this morning. In order to carry out what God have called you for, as a believer, you have to know that you have the ability to operate out of a priestly anointing. Now, if you don't get this, I can't take you to the second. I got another. But the next thing, next principle I'm going to teach you, if you don't get this first one, I can't take you. So I'm just going to wait and see if you got this in a few minutes. I'm going to talk to you. But you have the ability, each believer has a priestly anointing on the inside of them. And that priestly anointing really means they can make direct contact with God through Christ. Now, in saying that, each believer has the ability to make divine connection at any given moment with all of the ability of God. Y'all ain't said nothing. With all the ability of God. You as a priest, you're a raw priest. You're not a regular priest. See, believers, they don't know that. Because they think they're just a preacher, just a bishop. No. Because you are a Christian, you have a priestly anointing on the inside of you. You can make contact with Almighty God with His sovereignty at your exposure. He can change anything for you because you're His child. You must remind yourself, I am connected with Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the abilities of God is available to me 24 hours a day. In the midnight hour, I'm connected. 3 o'clock in the morning when I can't call nobody else, I can call Him because I'm connected with God and I have a high priest. I'm a priestly anointing in my life. There's something in me that touches God. There's something in me that not aggravate. There's something in me that activate God. I have access. Access. Now look at Hebrews 4:16. I have access. That two things that can change everything. I have access to two things that can change everything. In my priestly anointing. Say it, in my priestly anointing. I have access to two things that can change everything. Let us boldly come to the throne of grace to find what? Mercy and what? Mercy and grace, what to what? That's my priesthood. That's a priest's voice. If you don't know you're a priest, you can't use that voice. That voice for priests. For believers who know they're in the priesthood of God. I have a right to pray. I have a right to be able to change a situation by making contact with my Father. I have a boldness in me that does not come from Walmart. It comes from heaven. I have a, listen, priestly anointing. You hear me? I'm wearing a priestly anointing, meaning that as a priest, I can make contact with God and get grace and mercy, which is two of the most powerful commodities, to work on my behalf or on somebody else's behalf. I have a priestly anointing, I tell you. You see, when you really wearing that anointing properly, you go to 1 John 5:14-15. Look, turn that with me. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, what? We know what? We know what? We have the petition that we desire of him. No, you must be meaning somebody who went to seminary or somebody who God have given one of the fivefold ministry to give. No. I'm talking about the believer's priestly anointing. You have to know it. You have to know you can operate. I have in my note operating in a priestly anointing. Sit down. Write that down like I got it. Now, I want to tell you one or two more things here. Hallelujah. Now, you're going to have to listen now. You're going to have to listen because I'm taking you to a higher territory. Secondly, if you're going to live that overflowing, out of the overflow anointing, now, I never said this to you in this way, I don't believe. But you're going to have to develop a dependency or depending upon the prophetic preceding word. In other words, there's always a word of God coming to you, strengthening you, the preceding word, but it's prophetic. It's assigning you to your future. And it's assigning your future to you. When that happened, there's no more search for tomorrow. See, because you're in authority over tomorrow because you're operating out of a prophetic preceding word. Now, I want you to think about prophetic. Prophetic means that this word is prophesying over your life. It's prophesying over your predicament. In other words, let me say it where you can really get it. It's prophesying over what messing with you and straightening it out. Yeah. Then when the aspect, we're going to look at the scripture in a few minutes. The aspect of the preceding word, say preceding. That means a continuous flowing. And the word is not the source of the word. Turn to Matthew 4:4. The source of the word that you're talking about. It's not a regular word. It's not a word from down the street. It's not a word from the library. It's not a word from Congress. It's special words that I have the ability to live by. Matthew 4:4. It's a living word that points me to a living law that rules the kingdom and the world and all situations that come in my life. Well, y'all don't let me preach up here. See, this preceded word is a life-giving word. pregnant with the spirit and life and strength and ability of God that I can feed on. That remove me from being normal. Remove me from being regular. Remove me from being taken. Because it caused me to operate in a higher strength. Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
This word. This proceeding word. And watch what I'm about to say. And when I adjust myself properly, the word keep on coming. Amen. You see what I'm saying, Big E? The word I need for to protect my family. Oh Lord. The word I need to protect myself and protect my children. And my children nowhere around me, they're gone. I don't know where they're at. But I got a proceeding word from God. That word is where I am and it's where my child is also. That's how God wants us to live. He don't want us worried. He wants us to be able to prophesy over our children. Such a way it looks like it's not going right. We got a proceeded word and a prophetic word going through us. We just stand and prophesy. This is the way it's going to be. You turn into a prophet. You got a prophetic word, and you got preceding word pushing the prophetic word all the time. So you just stand up and say, "I prophesy. I'm not gonna cry. I'm gonna get up and prophesy over this situation. This is what's gonna happen, and this how it's gonna happen. Thus said the Lord." That's what makes Christianity exciting. Ain't nobody excited by just coming here, driving here 2 or 3 hours and coming here a song and hear a little sermon. No, you need to get something while you're here that you say, ha. Now let's look at Matthew 4:4. Let's look at Matthew 4:4 quickly. Jesus gives us these words in the midst of Satan's face. This is the first swing that Jesus took at Satan to let him know, you're not going to run me. And you're not going to make no offer to me. See, what take us off the trail is Satan make us another offer. Something to use beside the word. How many of y'all been in trouble about that? Come on. You got in a situation and you didn't go to the word. You went to some of your little whatever you can do, you know. Been there, done that. Everybody tell the truth. We'll all be on the same bus. Y'all get deep. You don't want nobody to know you missed it, but we all have missed it. And we have tried to handle some things without the word. You know it. You say, well, I'm just going to say this. Satan said, yeah, just keep on saying that. I'm going to bust your head. Notice now, in verse 4, I only have 6 minutes left. So we got to make good use of them. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Yes, sir. Amen. What happened then when I put God's word in my mouth?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
What happened if I qualify this morning to understand that I have a right to put God's word in my mouth? What happened to God's word? Look at Isaiah 55:11. What happened? What happened if I put God's word in my mouth right? Wait a minute, now we got to get it right first. Go. So before you come to Isaiah 55:11, go to Joshua 1:8. When I put that, because I got to close here. When I put the word of God in my mouth right, you can't handle me. I say you can't handle me because I'm actually now functioning in Ephesians 6:17. I'm functioning with the sword of the Spirit. Good God Almighty. Look at Joshua 1:8. This book of the law should not depart of your mouth. That means you keep on saying it. Joshua 1:8. Keep on saying the same thing. 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 Look like it's not working, but it's impossible. Keep on saying the same thing that God said about the situation. God said I'm healed. My body said I'm sick. But I keep saying what God said. See, this book of the law should not depart from the mouth. Look at Joshua 1:8 quickly. Quickly, my time up. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law should not depart from the mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that's written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and have good success. Now go see my son, Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my word. Incline thy ear to my saying. See, you want that word in your mouth. Now the word, come on. Word, the word, make a translation. The word you saw in Matthew 4:4, go to John 6:63. They tell you that the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. And those words take it to a law in Romans 8:2. Come on, turn the Bible. They take it to a law in Romans 8:2. I mean, John 6:63, take it to a law in Romans 8:2. There's a law in Romans 8:2. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. But I got to have the preceding word. I got to have the prophetical word. I got to have the word flowing in me for me to be in that position.
Yes.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Then I can go to Mark 11:23 then. Because I got a quickening word. Verily, verily, I said, whosoever shall say. See, I'm speaking a preceding word, a prophetic word. Verily, verily, I said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not die in his heart. But believe that those things which you say shall come to pass. He shall what? Have whatever he says. Why? Because I'm speaking a prophetic word. I'm speaking a preceding word out of my spirit. Came from God. Now go to Isaiah 55:11. Let's close. Isaiah 55. Let's just go. Isaiah 55, 11. Based on Joshua 1:8. Based on John 6:63. Based on Matthew 4:4. Based on Romans 8:2. Based on Colossians 1:13. I'm delivered from the power of darkness. Because I got a word from the Lord. Jesus said, if you abide in me, my word abide in you. He said, here's the translation. Make a demand upon what is rightfully yours, and I'll see to it that you get it. No Christian can ever be a helpless creature. Your help is on the inside of you. Now notice what it said about the word, but I want you to get the concept of the word. When you speak the word from your mouth in faith, it is God speaking. And if I'm speaking the same word that God spoke and the same power behind it, I should get the same result. Look at Isaiah 55:11. Start reading it. Go ahead. Hold up now. I want you to think. See, we always equate it God's mouth and have not realized that when we connect it properly, my mouth is God's mouth. Y'all don't want me to preach up in here. What happened? Come on, quickly. What happened? Now, let me tell you how to observe the scripture. There's three specific things he's telling you in that verse. What that word will do. What the first one is? It won't return to him a void. Right? It won't return empty. Second one. Will it do what? Accomplish. See, you look for a key word. Accomplish. Mission. Accomplish. When you use that word properly, what happened? Mission. Accomplish. Do you have anything you need to accomplish today? Just go on and use the word. Find a word on it. Speak it out. Over and over and over again. Believe it. Speak it. Receive it. Believe it. Speak it. Receive it. Believe it. Speak it. Receive it. Got it? Believe it. Speak it. Receive it. Read it long enough till you believe it. Once you believe it, then speak it. Once you speak it, then receive it. You may be seated. Every head bowed. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, I'm out. Say, my man of God done preached me out. I'm out. I know what to do. I know what to do with that thing now. Right? Believe it. Speak it. Receive it. That's a wrap. See? What I'm saying? Get the word on it. Feed on the word till you believe it. Then say the same thing the word said and receive it at the same time. Now there's someone here that have not given Christ their life, and you want to give Christ your life.